Scott. Some of you know that we do quite a bit of roadside turf grass research at Minnesota, and I thought I'd kind of talk about the overall program and kind of step you through some of the sequence of projects that we've done over the years. Now, I mainly wanted to talk about this because I think it's a good example of a funding source for a lot of you that maybe is untapped in your states, and it also show you how it really fits well into our program. It's not something we're doing on the side just to get funding. So roadsides are a very stressful environment. We talk a lot about low inputs turf in this group, and it's one of the lowest input environments you can find. It's you got high temperatures, you've got poor soils, you have no irrigation, there's a lot of disease and weeds. And of course, in Minnesota and other places in the northern part of the country, we get a lot of damage from salt. So that's kind of how this project got started. When we first started this in 2010, we looked at the recommendations for grasses that were used for either sod or seed. MnDOT likes to put down sod occasionally. And we noticed that there was a lot of bluegrass in the mix, about 70% by weight, which means, you know, per seed basis, there's a lot more than that. And then about 20% fine fescue and maybe 10% alkali grass. So we started doing some work to see if that's the right mix. Are those the grasses that belong on roadsides in Minnesota? We kind of thought it wasn't the right mix, but we thought we'd look into that. So Josh Friel, when he was a graduate student with us, did a lot of work on figuring out which grasses should be on roadside. He put out a cultivar trial, did a controlled environments salt screening, looked at that data, put together some mixtures based on the best species and best cultivars, looked at those mixtures on roadsides, looked at those mixtures for sod formations so that sod growers could grow these. And fine fescues kept rising to the top. So in the end, we ended up recommending to MnDOT that they change their specifications to more of an 80% fine fescue, 20% bluegrass mix. And that works really well for salt tolerance. Well, after that happened, we started seeing this implemented on roadsides a little more, and we started seeing failures of these installations. And of course, we'd get calls and complaints. And we started going out and monitoring these sites, and what we really thought was that the management of these grasses was needed to be changed. So a lot of the way the DOT works is through specifications. There's a big spec book, you read through it, they follow it, you know, the contractors follow the spec book. So the specifications for establishment, we thought, had to be changed. And there's several problems here. One is Kentucky bluegrass sod and fine fescue sod are two different animals, and you have to, you know, water them differently and treat them differently. You can't let fine fescue be ignored on a sod pallet quite as long as you can ignore Kentucky bluegrass. The time of year might be important. Water trucks really don't work to get water into the turf anyway. Maybe with fine fescue you need to water for a longer time, and John Trappi's talk yesterday suggested that. So we did all this work to try to help MnDOT think about what are the changes in management practices that have to happen if we're going to use these more sustainable grasses on roadsides. Another component of that was figuring out how to water these roadsides better. I said water trucks don't really work, so Sam Bauer's been leading some work, and some of you may have seen his poster yesterday, on more on these roadside irrigation systems that you can hook up to fire hydrants. Drip irrigation works really well, and that allows us to put water down at more precise amounts over a longer period of time and actually use less water but have more impact on the establishment of the turf. We're also doing some work on some other stress tolerances, figuring out which grasses are best for ice cover. A lot of times between a sidewalk and a road, there's a little dip, and you get ice cover, and some grasses like tall fescue, which does really well for salt, do not like ice cover, so you have to be careful using those in those sites. Doing some more salt screening in newer cultivars, looking at heat stress tolerance. And probably the biggest change recently is we were able to pull together a group of scientists from University Turfgrass Research Programs along with their respective DOTs on a multi-state project. So that just got started this fall. So the DOTs in each state each kicked in a bunch of money for the overall project. And we recently put out a cultivar trial at 10 sites in 5 states. So Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Nebraska. So we've got 2 sites in each of those states, one along like an interstate or a higher traffic road, and one along more residential, urban residential street. It's kind of like a roadside NTEP. And that's going to give us a lot more data. One of the problems with roadside work is that every winter is a little different. Sometimes you don't get a lot of salt stress, so you don't get some good data. In this case, we've got 10 locations, and I would expect we'd be able to get a lot of data. And I think it's going to really be helpful for those DOTs that are involved and other DOTs who are looking to make grass recommendations. So I just encourage you to look into this if you're interested in low-input turf. It's a great funding source and a great way to supplement some of the things that are going on in your programs. Thanks.
Thanks, Eric.